Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog, who lives in a pond and loves to tell stories. This story is about a little boy named Drew. Drew was a little boy who just wasn't loved and respected as much as he should have been. Every morning, his father told him, "Hurry up, Drew, you're gonna be late." And, "Don't eat like a pig, Drew. Slow down and use your manners." And, "Use your inside voice, son. You're giving me a headache." Then all day long at school, his teacher told him, "Drew, put up your hand before speaking." And, "You can't go out for recess with a desk that messy, Drew." And, "I don't think you're trying your hardest, Drew. You need to study for your spelling quizzes." And then after school, his mother told him, "No running in the kitchen." And she told him, "Clean up this Lego all over the floor, Drew." And his brother told him, "No, I don't want to play with you. I'm not done this level. Go away and don't come into my room ever." And slam the door on Drew. And his piano teacher told him, "You need to practice more than 5 minutes a week, Drew. You should practice every day for 20 minutes. And when his team played baseball, they lost every game, and every pitch looked like a ball to Drew, but the umpire called them strikes, and he called Drew out. And when Drew finally hit the baseball, the umpire cried, "Foul ball!" And the inning was called, and on the way home, his dad said to him, "You know, maybe you're more of a cross-country running kind of kid, Drew. Have you ever thought of cross-country running? Heck of a sport to build endurance and stamina." So on Saturday, Drew decided that was enough. Instead of living with his family and going to school, he was going to live in the woods as a wild boy. Drew told his mom that he was going to go live in the woods and that he was almost certainly going to live there from now on instead of at home. It was a fairly short walk from his house. He considered bringing a box of granola bars, but then he decided it would be better to just cut all ties with civilization. "First things first," thought Drew when he got to the woods. "If this is going to work, I need to build a shelter. To do so, I need to find the perfect tree." That was the easy part. Drew loved trees, and trees loved Drew. He could tell. So he found a rough bark cottonwood with a long, low branch that was easy to jump up on so that you could climb higher and higher up. And he sat on a branch that was decently high up, and he let his legs swing underneath him. And the sound of the leaves rustling in the wind and the birds chirping and the squirrels chattering welcomed him to this wild place as one of them. And he knew he'd made the right decision. Maybe he could find a hollow somewhere in this tree that he could sleep in for tonight until he had time to build a more elaborate shelter. So Drew decided to climb a bit higher up to look for a hollow, which is when he heard a low growl from the next tree over. "Is somebody there?" asked Drew. But there was no answer, so he kept climbing. But then he heard it again. "Who is there?" asked Drew. "I know somebody is there." "I already told you who is here," said a voice. "It's me." "I don't have another name because I'm a child of the forest, so there's never been anyone to give me a name. I have no language because I've never had anyone to communicate with except the wild creatures here, and so they named me, and my name is..." "Wait, aren't you speaking in language right now?" asked Drew. Said growl. Drew moved carefully down along the branch to see if he could get a glimpse of this wild girl, and there she was, on the branch right next to him, on the next tree over. "This is my tree, and you may not climb on it without my permission," said the wild girl. She had wild brown hair that looked like it had never been brushed, ever, not once. And she had a pink fur vest and dirty blue jeans that were torn in the knees. Her feet were bare. Her teeth were bared. And she had a wild look in her eyes, just like you'd expect from a feral child who'd never encountered anyone from civilization before. "Well, do I have permission to climb on your tree?" asked Drew. The wild girl just growled and bared her teeth even more, and Drew took that as a no, and so he stayed put. "First things first," said the girl. "If you're going to survive in these woods, I'm going to need to teach you how to hunt, how to forage, and how to protect yourself from the beast." "There's a beast?" asked Drew, his eyes getting wide. "Oh, yes," said the girl. "Of course there's a beast, but don't worry. I'll show you how to track it, or if you're hungry, we can hunt first." "What would we hunt?" asked Drew. "Well, squirrels and rabbits, of course," answered the wild girl. "What else would we eat here in the woods?"
"I'm not hungry yet," said Drew.
"Okay, but it's best to tell me before you get too hungry," said the girl, "because hunting and skinning and cooking an animal takes a lot of energy, and you don't want to be hungry when you start the whole process."
"Of course," said Drew. "I'll let you know."
"Do you want to come see my water purification distiller contraption?" asked the girl.
"I designed it myself."
And she started climbing down her tree quickly, so Drew followed her quickly. And when they reached the ground, she ran over to some smaller trees and bushes. And when Drew followed her, she turned and she told him, "Keep low. The beast is triggered by movement." And so Drew kept low, and then she showed him where there was a cup of water at the base of a tree. A leaf was propped up on the side of the cup, and it was full of dirty-looking puddle water, and there was a stick in it.
"Drink it," said the girl. "It's 100% pure water from the forest."
Drew looked into the cup, which was a quite crumpled-up McDonald's cup, and he said, "You know, we should conserve water. I'm not that thirsty. We should only drink this when we absolutely need to."
"Great idea," said the girl.
Said Drew.
"You are learning quickly," said the girl, "the language of the forest. I'll teach you more later, but for now we should begin tracking the beast's movements through the forest. We need to make sure that we surprise it instead of the other way around. Do you see any signs that the beast has been this way?"
Drew looked around. He wasn't sure, but he did notice a broken stick on the ground, and he thought that might be a sign, and also he saw a Rice Krispie square wrapper crumpled up about a meter away from that.
"There," he pointed. "And there."
He was trusting his natural instincts.
"Very good," said the girl. "You learn quickly.
Let's go." And she ran across a clearing in the woods and dove into a bush on the other side. Drew followed her. They ran and then observed. They ran and then observed, ran and observed until the girl was sure of the beast's location in the woods.
"Simple triangulation," she said. "He's sleeping over there behind that flower planter. Let's leave him be for now. We want to fight him at night when we have the advantage. He can't see well in the dark."
And then the boy remembered about how he'd need to build a shelter or he wouldn't have any place to sleep that night in the dark, with a beast on the loose. He told the girl.
"You can't sleep in my tree," said the girl. "We better get started on your shelter right away."
And the girl showed him where she had a stash of building materials that she'd been saving up for something like this. There was a cardboard box. There was a log, a broom handle, a plastic chair with only three legs, and the ricketiest ladder in the entire universe.
"Perfect," said Drew. "We just need some rope."
"Wait here," said the girl. "Keep your eyes on that flower planter. Actually, you know what? It would probably be better if you used time to sharpen some sticks into spears. We'll need those later. Where's your pocket knife?"
"I don't have a pocket knife," said the boy.
"Ugh," said the girl. "Didn't you just come from civilization?"
"Here, use mine."
She handed Drew her knife, but the boy didn't have much luck sharpening sticks into spears with it. It wasn't very sharp, was the thing, and in fact, he was pretty sure it was a butter knife. So he decided to tie it to a stick with a rubber band he'd found on the ground to turn it into one really good spear instead. It took a while, and just as he was beginning to practice with it, moving it from hand to hand, lunging with it, thrusting with it, the girl returned with a purple backpack. The backpack said Sara Lynn on it, the boy noticed, and the girl pulled out two juice boxes, a Ziploc baggie full of cold pancakes, a roll of duct tape, a pair of scissors, several skipping ropes, and an old ice cream bucket with a lid.
"Wow! Perfect!" said the boy. Where did you get all this great stuff? I just foraged for it, said the girl. The wild boy and Rawr worked all afternoon on that treehouse, and it was amazing. They tied the plastic chair onto a limb of the tree so that Drew could sleep sitting up in it. They duct taped the cardboard box over top of the chair so that if it rained, it wouldn't rain on Drew. They even made a pulley system with a skipping rope in the bucket so that they could pull and drop supplies up and down the tree to each other without having to climb it each time. Sarah Lynn, called a voice. Sarah Lynn, it's dinner time. You better have your shoes on. Ugh, said the girl. Maybe I'll see you here next Saturday. And she ran towards the voice and away from Drew. Drew was about to get settled into his tree for the night when his big brother said, You have got to be kidding me. This is the ricketiest ladder in the universe. You haven't been climbing this, have you? Grrr, said Drew. Ooh, scary, said his big brother. Mom says come home now or else. That night, after a warm bath, when Drew was tucked into his bed and all sleepy, after a big roast beef dinner and a story from Grandma, he thought of the wild girl, and he hoped he'd see her again the next Saturday. And he worried that he wouldn't because he might have imagined her. She was that amazing. And that night, after a warm bath, when Sarah Lynn was tucked into bed after a dinner of ratatouille on saffron rice, and after watching a movie with her mom, Sarah Lynn began to dream. She dreamt about fighting the beast in the dark with Drew at her side, both of them waving flaming torches and well-made spears so that the beast ran in terror from them. They fended off skillfully. It was a good fight. And the next Saturday, Drew rode his bike to the forest, and he was hoping to see Grrr, but she was nowhere to be found. So he climbed up into his tree fort, and he sat there in the three-legged chair tied to the branch, and he listened to the sound of leaves rustling in the wind, and to the birds chirping and the squirrels chattering, welcoming him to this wild place as one of them. And then he heard, from the next tree over, a voice. And the voice said,